The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. And welcome to the Barrington Show with your host Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101. Join our path to enlightenment with our guidance to living at your best with a path to a higher consciousness. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, right to your host of the Barrington Show, Barrington.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Barrington Show. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for taking this Sunday to be a part of our show. We appreciate you being there. Without you, we won't exist. Thank you very much. You're listening to Barrington on realityradio101.com. We're here to raise you to a higher level of consciousness and let you realize that you're limitless. We had a new caller sent an email last week when I wasn't here. So for that, I apologize. I needed some time off and I had it. It was wonderful. So thank you for sticking in there and welcome back, as I'm back myself. The caller was asking about, are we the God? Are we God? Are we making our own decisions? Are we responsible for us? And absolutely, yes. The higher power that exists is a higher consciousness of yourself, the higher you. We're raising you to a higher level of consciousness so you can be aware of your ability, the fact that you're not limited, you're limitless. The consciousness is, we're raising you to the higher level of consciousness so you could live more alert, more in the now. More of today. You don't dwell on what you were taught yesterday, and you don't bring that through with you through life. What you were told was by somebody who doesn't know who you are, as they must know who they are in order to clearly determine that. And only you will know yourself. Know thyself is what we preach all the time. Stand up, because you are the higher self. If there's a God out there, it's you. We're all a part of this great wave. We're all the same. We've come from the same cloth or baked from within the same cake. The universe is within us. We're not in the universe. Everything that exists in the universe will exist in you. The energy that makes you who you are, the soul, the God, the moving power, the thing that makes you alive or alert or aware is considered all that there is, all of life. The power that exists on this planet also exists within you. You're not an exception. You're not smaller to anybody. Neither are you greater to anyone. You're just maybe more alert or maybe more aware, or they may not be fully understanding who they are. You are the source that exists. You are part of the great wave. Everybody has the same quality within. You are being told to wake up. Wake up and realize your strength. Wake up and realize who you are. Wake up and take your step into the all-knowing. You have this power. You are the higher self. Wake up. Our intent is to get you to understand who you truly are, to know thyself. Wake up. Welcome to the show. Thank you very much for being here. We really appreciate it. The intent, and I had a conversation with somebody a while back, is to pass this information on because a lot of us just don't know. We've accepted the position we're in. We've accepted who we are, and we take ourselves as the body, and we walk through life waiting for the end and go out. Most of us end up dying early 20s because we've given up on all that we know or we thought. When we realize there's more to it, we give up and we die then, and we wait till we're older to be buried. That's not the case. All of life is for living, and that includes every step of the way. Wake up and know that there's a lot more to you than you are aware of. And the stories that were told to you that you're not good enough, you may not make it, you're this, or whatever stories that you're carrying from the younger days of your life until today, you need to re-examine them and ask yourself this important question. If they truly knew who they were, would they be putting you down or discouraging you or trying to stop you? They themselves may not know who they are. And in not knowing that, they cannot and will ever know who you are. And once you accept the fact that there's more to you than exists or meets the eye, you will take a journey and try to find out just how much more of me is out there. You are the God that exists. You are the higher consciousness. You are your own guides. You are created by you. You are the creator. All the tools that is necessary for you to accomplish all that you seek in life resides within you. You have all the tools. You just have to learn how to find them and then how to use them. And by the time you find them, you'll be well aware of what they're there for or the purpose of it. I had a conversation recently with somebody saying there's a good chance that we're only using 15% of our brain. Quite possible, but does that mean there's 85% chance that we're wrong about that statement? Possibility, and who knows? However, what you can do is find you and be the best you. Be the best you that you can be. Welcome to the show to everybody. Welcome to the old listeners, old time listeners, as well as the new listeners. Welcome everybody. Welcome home. And thank you for being there and being you. Last week, if you were listening to the show, it was a repeat. And we had a couple of emails that were sent in. A few of them stood out. And not to ignore the other ones, they're all very important. And I do appreciate you taking the time to send in an email. So we had one that asked about the question, are we God? And if so, who are the spiritual guide? And I just explained that somewhat, that yes, you are the higher being, you are the ultimate, you are the top, you're the top shelf, you're the driver, you're the one who's in control of the body, which is separate from who you are. You reside within the body because you need one. You know, you can't climb that ladder without one, or even eat food. And while you have the body, you have to take care of it because you're working as a team. If that breaks down, then you don't have a vehicle to travel with. So yeah, we are the gods to answer that question. The spiritual guide that exists is a higher self of you, the higher level of consciousness, where we're trying to get you to rise up to and be alert or be aware of it. And then you could use it to your advantage. Yes, you are the God. Everybody, if you're hearing me, yes, you are the God, and there's no one else above you, just a higher level of yourself or more awareness. We say, wake up and get to that level, stand up, so you can see that you have all that there is, and you are all that there is. All that ever existed is a part of you. Everything that's on this planet is a part of you. You are all that there is. You have to rise up to understand that. You have to step up to know and learn and use it to your advantage. Whatever situation that you're in, you can change that by changing your thoughts. Whatever situation you may be in or going into, and you may think you're trapped, but you're never trapped. You're free. You're living free, but you may choose. You may have chosen to give up that freedom and accept where you stand today. You have the power within you to make all the changes that's required. You need to know that, and by doing so, or the attempt to get to that is by knowing how to connect to your higher self, another part of you that exists. Some people call it the instinctive part of you that guides you, take you out of danger, you know, tell you not to do things that's probably wrong for you, and put you on the path that you designed for yourself. So that was the question. And the spiritual guides are just a higher form of you. You created you. It's all you. It's all about you. Peter also asked about the COVID and the freedom that we've been given temporarily, because now if you listen to the news, it's talking about the COVID counts are going way up again, higher than it's been in recent months. And it seems as if we're heading down a path that we're quite familiar with. And this is going back into the COVID lockdown. We hope it doesn't happen. Somebody wanted to know, will we revolt? Well, we're not. We're loving freedom. It's amazing. But we're part of this bigger plan. And if this is what is required, we may not agree with it, but I don't think a revolution is going to solve it or put us in a better place. That's my opinion. And I'm not joining one just for the sake of the argument. However, I tend to think that if we do merge back into another lockdown, yeah, it will suck big time because freedom is a must and we've been enjoying it a lot this summer. We're going back out inside the restaurants where we can actually sit inside the restaurants and have a meal without, you know, having to wear a mask or the distance 6 feet away from another table. We're loving that. We're going back to what we're familiar with. We're going back to the old school, that old familiar feeling. It's been sensational. So we're not really ready to accept the fact that that's going to be taken away. The tease has now, you know, revealed itself. It's going to be taken away from us again. No, we're not loving that. How we will react to it, I'm not sure. I can't speak for everybody. I'm not going to be happy with the fact that we're going to go back into a lockdown because it didn't serve me in the first place. And it doesn't sound like it will again. However, we have to take it one day at a time. We have to go one step at a time. Someone, some people, some group out there may feel that it's necessary for us to go through the lockdown. And of course, equally, other groups don't believe that. I don't think it's necessary. And, you know, but where do we stand on this? What do we do? Do we get out there in a group and fight against it? And what to what ends? And what do you win when you fought? And if you did win, to not wear the mask in the midst of the fighting, wouldn't that be increasing the exposure to being infected by this? Well, there's that possibility. We're not happy with what's going on. No one is. I haven't met a lot of people who said, woohoo, we're going through COVID. However, a lot of people have said, yeah, we're going through COVID. And I do know, and I have always said, and I will continue to say, this too shall pass. How do we react to what may happen in the fall here in Canada, Ontario? I don't know. I don't know. And it's one of those things that we're going to have to just take it as it comes and realize by fighting it, I don't know if that's going to make the situation any better. Neither am I suggesting that you lay down and accept what they throw at you. It's a tough place to be between that rock and a harder place. However, we're a part of a functional society and we sort of have to do our part just to be a part of this functional society. We have choices and we choose to be here. So we definitely have to do what is necessary to survive and stay here. Okay, so another question we had was about reincarnation. How many times do we come back was the question. And do we choose to come back? Well, yes, you do. You've come here to fulfill a purpose, to serve something, to do something. If you didn't get to that point, you're taking off your mark. You will have to come back, unfortunately, and repeat that step again and again and again and again. And you get the message. So if you didn't do what you're supposed to do by not finding the purpose of your existence here and the time that you're here, yes, you will come back. But we don't ever leave here. So when you fulfill the task, depending on what it is, and if it was to bake bread and you finally figured it out after five lives, you come back. You may not want to come back because now you have the choice not to. And you choose that, like we did choose to come here. A lot of us did just experience the life of human beings and just to see what it's like to be in the body and just to experience the emotions and the feel and whatever you had set out for yourself to come out and accomplish. That was the reason why you choose to come here. Some comes to deliver a message and just to teach us how to live. We talk about the indigo children that has come here and has taught us how to live and be one. They deal mainly in spirituality. And as if you've noticed in recent years, the spiritual thing is growing more so than it did, say, 50, 60 years ago, maybe 100 years ago. And now we're more aware of all that exist and we're more aware of other entities out there other than the groups that told us how to live, where to live, why to live, who to like, what not to like, and all those things. Now we know there's more to it and we're sort of moving towards the more, because we're starting to learn that all the decisions that we make is from us, and we make them collectively, sometimes without being consciously aware of it. But most often you make the decision for you as your life progresses. Every step that you're taking, you're making your own decision. And nobody has the right or the knowledge or the wisdom to tell you how to do this. You are the one. You may join a group and follow what the group is doing. Great. It doesn't take away from you being an awesome person within yourself. It doesn't take away from you being who you are. It doesn't take away from the star that you are. It doesn't take your shine away. But if you wanted to be a part of that group, so be it. Don't give up any of your identity. And if that requires you giving up some of you to join the group, maybe that group is not for you. Just maybe. You are an entity. You are here for a purpose. Your purpose will only be known by you. And if you've come to deliver a message to tell us how to live, how to get along, how not to do this, how to do whatever, the message will be received by everyone else. And that was your duty. If you miss that mark, you're coming back again to do it. And that was the original question. As to how many times, I'm not sure. That depends on how willing you are or how quick you'll step up and open up and realize who you are. And that's the quintessential part. Who you are, because you'll make the better decisions, you'll do the right things, you will live by knowing who you are, and you will definitely live free. Our goal here, so it was taught to us by society, the thing that we're part of, that we should chase something. We should chase something and get as much of it as we can and store it away. So when we get to, once we've accomplished all of it, we get to a certain point in our lives, we could sit back and relax and enjoy it. But what happens if that's not your purpose? And what happens if you don't make it to the pinnacle that they're dictating to us to get this higher education, get this great job, get this great lifestyle. And then, you know, once you get it, you can enjoy it. And that's not the truth, because you've sacrificed a great part of you to get to that pinnacle. You've sacrificed a lot. And when you get there, you'll be fatigued and tired, probably diseased, or just uninterested in the goal that you're chasing. So the focus is to enjoy it and enjoy it now. Do the dance today. Worry about paying the piper tomorrow. Enjoy the dance. Live now. And that was one of our questions, as to say, do we come back and how many times and how often? And that was just answering it. I'm telling you right now, just live the life and love the life. We've talked briefly about the COVID, and yes, we have temporal freedom, and it sounds, again, by what they're saying in the media, that we might be going back to another different situation than the one we're currently in right now. But that's what it's saying. We don't know if it's true, and we're not going to jump to conclusion. However, if that's the case, remember, too, this will pass, because we've said that and it's happening. And we've gotten a taste of freedom. I can talk about that because I truly been enjoying it this week. It's been fantastic. It's been a good, good week. And I'm thankful for that, because I let this opportunity or let this moment soak into me so I can enjoy the time that we have. And not worry about what's coming later. Deal with now. Enjoy now. Do the dance now. Make hay now. Enjoy it all now. Have we got any emails there?
We have some emails. And folks, welcome to the Barrington Show with Barrington. If you'd like to get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is InStudio101@gmail.com. That's InStudio101@gmail.com. Chase wrote in and he says, "Hello, Barrington. Welcome back. Listening to you from St. Petersburg, Florida." And that's from Chase. Thank you very much, Chase. We appreciate that. Dottie says, "If there is no God, who wrote the Bible? Wasn't the Bible written by men who heard the word of God and put his words into book form? I'm not sure I follow you." That's Dottie. Mitch says, "COVID is, in fact, on its way up here in Canada. The numbers are increasing. I am not for a revolution. However, I really feel Canadians and most people in the world will not take another shutdown at all. There will be rioting in the streets. And that's from Mitch. And the last one here, last email here is from Pablo. And Pablo says, so when you say we make a choice to return here once we die, you can say no and not return? I can see a lot of people that had a rough life or a terrible life not wanting to return. So they would tell their spiritual guides they are not returning and they should not and cannot and will not. That's from Pablo. And that is it, sir. Back to you, Barrington.
Well, thank you. Pablo, you've touched on a lot of things there, and that's awesome. I like that. Okay, first you said when we die, and we don't die, Pablo, we tend to just lay the body down and get a new one because that one is kind of old, broken, diseased, or got hit by a car, which is broken. So we don't die. When we return, do we make the choice to come back? Do we say to our spiritual guides, give us another chance, or heck no, I'm not doing it? Well, you are the guy who's making that decision, yes, and you are speaking to the higher self, which is also you. Okay, so do we come back to a bitter world that we don't want to be in? No, you make a conscious decision to come here. The spiritual guides that you're speaking to is a higher self of you, which is a higher part of you, which is a higher part of your existence. And the God that exists is also a part of you when you choose to come back. Now, you also talked about, briefly mentioned, that you see a lot of people having a rough life, or they're struggling and they're suffering. My question to you is, how do you know they're struggling or suffering? Are you comparing them to you because you're doing a dance and they're not? Then if you are able to say that, if you want to say that, the next question I would have for you then is, how do you know exactly what their purpose is? And how are you able to categorize what is considered a rough life? We all sit in this side of the world. We'll look at another side of the world and say, oh man, it looks like it sucks to be them. And the key part is that it looks like, but we don't truly know another person's purpose, and we don't know if they're having a rough life. I've struggled for many years with the term suffering. You see, we tend to think others are suffering because we make that comparison to them and us. And we think if we're in that situation, you'll be suffering because we have this other one to compare it to. However, what if you didn't? And how are you able to determine suffering unless you've walked in that man's shoes? How are you able to come to that conclusion if you didn't know what their past lives were or their purpose of being here? And if you don't know who they are, how do you know they're not doing what they're destined to do? And how dare you compare it to your life? Not in a negative way, I'm simply saying that we don't know where they're going. We don't know their path. We don't know their destination. We don't know why they're here. So it's unfair for us to say they're not doing well, or they're suffering, or they're in pain. Until you're able to determine their purpose, you have to understand that they're doing something different than you, because your purpose is different than theirs. I hope I answered that well. Okay. The COVID, we talked about it, and you're thinking that a lot of people are going to rebel, and you're not, you mentioned that you're not going to join the revolution. I don't think there's going to be one. But yes, I do agree with you in saying that a lot of people just won't take it. They're probably going to say, you know what, enough is enough. I can't take this anymore. But what choices do we have? And are they going to put it, they are going to try to do the lockdown. So I think, and I don't know that for certain, so don't quote me on that, but it seems as everything is pointing in that direction, as it did the last three times, and this will be number four. Are we happy? No, we're not happy. Do we want it to happen? Absolutely not. But what choice do we have if it does? I don't think going out there and try to push back and push, who are you pushing? And for what reason? I'm not saying lay down and take it like a whoop dog. I'm simply saying we have to give a clear understanding as to what's happening and why it's happening. Is it greed? Is it power, a trip? Is it control? Or is it just generally want you to be happy and be healthy and live a good life? Now, you can't accomplish both of those. You know, you can't. Some people are going to be happy. Everybody won't be happy at the same time. Some are going to be happy and some are not going to be happy. I don't know how to pick who gets to be happy now at this turn. I do know that if we go back in it, a lot of people won't like it. And it won't serve everybody. And a lot of folks out there who's lost relatives as a result of COVID will probably want everything to line up and get it smooth so nobody will have to go through what they've gone through. But in the meantime, we're here, we're facing it, it's alive, we just have to deal with it. This too shall pass. Okay, who wrote the Bible? That's a very interesting thing. And I think, you know, which one are you talking about? And, you know, I've always said, and I've said on this show, that the Bible to me represents a game of broken telephone, because everybody gets information interpreted their own way and then write a version of it in their own views. It's a telephone, the broken telephone. We've all played that game when we're kids. And is the truth that we hear at the end of that lineup of people getting messages and passing, is that the truth? Or is information completely distorted or lost? Well, we'll never know that. However, what we can do, what we can find out, is the truth. And by doing that, you connect yourself to your spiritual, your higher level of consciousness, your spiritual guide, to know the truth and how to live. You know, this great book that you talk about, who wrote the Bible? Was it God's words that were inspired by men's words that were inspired by God? Probably. Who is this God? And where is he? Don't you agree that he's within you? He's with you? If you want to know the truth, the tool is in your toolbox to find the truth, but know thyself. Go out and do the research that is required by meditating, studying yourself, and getting into a place where you can understand all that there is and be tapped and connected to all that exists, and you will find out. Now, when we read through these books, we see how it in favor of some and don't others, belittle some and don't others, strengthen some and don't others, guide some and don't others, give to some and don't others, and don't like some, and stuff like that. Would that be the word of the authentic being that wants to guide us for us to have a mutual, really good life? Let's hate that group. Let's not talk to that group. Oh, they're not following what we're following. They're dead wrong. Would that be the word of that person to say all these things, that this is the right group and that's not the right group? Would that be the word of that person? The one that you follow, who's holier than thou, that says, if you don't follow me, I'll burn you. Is that the word of the righteous one? If you don't follow me, I'll burn you. And if you do follow me, you'll live happily ever after and go into this land of, you know, we hold hands and sing kumbaya, or milk and honey and ice cream. Is that the word of the one that wants us to live the best life? How am I going to listen to that, a person that I consider a great leader who's going to dominate and make this world a so much better place, while he's trying to burn half the existing occupancy of this land? Isn't that an evil side to it? So all we have to do is conform, and then we'll be safe. And if we rebel, yeah, we're going to end up someplace very warm, according to the word. Who wrote it? I don't know. Why is it written? I'm not even sure. Is it serving everybody? Because we're all the same. We're cut from the same cloth. Is it serving everybody? Are you going to go out and tell a joke in a room where that joke is going to be offensive to a few of those people in that room? You probably won't. You probably will, but you shouldn't. If it's not beneficial to everyone, will you say it's right? And what do you say to those who it's not favoring, it's not helping? It's wrong? Well, the same good book can't be right and wrong. It has to be right. And if it was truth, it would be right, because there's only one truth, the consistency of it all. There's only one truth, which would always be right. That's answering your question. I hope you got the answer you wanted. Thank you very much, Chase, for joining the show. Welcome. Thank you from all the way in Florida. I appreciate you being here. I love the fact that you're tuning in to listen to the show. Today, we're talking about a whole bunch of topics, and that's just one of them. And this is the Barrington Radio Show, and I hope you enjoy it. Stick around. We have a lot to offer. If you want to get more information, you can check us out on the website, HEAMI, BarringtonAwaken.com. Good information there. The shows are all listed. Everyone that we've done is posted there, and you can pick your favorite topic and check out the show. Today is about living and loving life. And if you wanted to hear this one being repeated, you go in it after today and look up Living and Loving Life, because that's what it's all about. My name is Barrington. I have a book, Awaken an Ascension Guide. It aligns you to your true purpose in life. It gives you a little guide as to how to get onto your path of seeking what is rightfully yours, a greater life. The decisions that you've made thus far has brought you to where you are. You're listening to the show. You are on a search because you know there's more to you. We have a book out there that guides you and tells you how to get into learning who you are, learning thyself. It's the purpose. You can find that book at Amazon.com, Amazon.ca. Great read. You'll enjoy it. And it was written for you, by you. Believe it or not, the answers that you're looking for, they will be there. And every question that exists, there's an answer for it, or there wouldn't have been a question to begin with. And this you must know. So we're talking about the spirituality, we're talking about guides, and we had a question as to how do we meditate? How do we meditate? The person stated that every time they see meditation on TV, somebody is sitting still and they're folding their arms and they're doing all these things. Well, meditation is a state of mind. Yes, if you're going to get into it, I will tell you to start there because it's probably the easiest way, allowing you consciously, you're aware of you emptying your space, clearing your space, getting a comfortable position, sitting down, preparing yourself for a journey that is remarkable to you. So that would be a good place to start. Once you get into your meditation, sorry, let me back up a little bit. You want to try that there for a few minutes a day, maybe 6 minutes, 3 in the morning, as early as possible, because that's when you're best. If you work day 9 to 5, like most of us do, you will get up and you will be sharp around 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. It was pointed out to me recently that there's a gap between the conscious and the subconscious, the conscious and the body. When you wake up in the morning, there's a minute there where for about 10 seconds, you're unaware of what's going on. And then boom, you clued in. And somebody, a relative of mine, pointed out that there is a gap. When you do wake up in the morning, there's a little gap. And it's funny because I've experienced it in the last couple of weeks. And it does make me laugh. When you wake up in the morning, right away for about 10 seconds or so, you're unaware of what's happening. Like, where am I? Da, 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 da. And then you click into, oh, right. Now you start remembering, oh, then you start, I got to do this, or, oh, excitedly, I got to do that, or I got to, you know, but for about 10 seconds there, you're in a lull, you're in a open space of nothingness where you're unaware. So it was brought to my attention at the same time that the body doesn't remember the anger and the arguments or the fights or whatever it is that you had yesterday. But as soon as you go through that 10 seconds of, oh yeah, right, that's what it is. And then you catch yourself. The conscious is just waking up and you're getting into the realization of where you are now. And, oh, this is what I'm doing and so on. Then you bring on all the animosities or stress or good things that you've had the night before, the days before, the years before, because you now reintroduce yourself to them and you're going to start doing it over again. So if it was hate for that 10 seconds, you're completely unaware of it. But soon enough, it comes back. You're like, yeah, then you nail it. So yeah, there is a gap. And I just thought I'd bring that to your attention. Let me go back to the meditation. Yes, you can meditate anywhere at any time. I would suggest you start practicing your meditation while you're driving down the motorway, but you want to practice it and get good at it and know what it's all about and how to tap into it. And once you're comfortable with it, you could do it anywhere, anytime. You could be meditating. You know, your boss might not love to hear this, while you're at work doing your work. You could be meditating when you're driving down the road. You could be meditating when you're swimming or walking or laying on the beach or whatever you do. Meditation happens in the state of mind. All it does is really just empty out the mind and allow you to connect to all that there is, the higher power, the spirituality. So it could be done anywhere at any time. Anywhere at any time. You could put yourself in that state of mind, but be conscious of what you're doing, because, you know, I think if you're operating a motor vehicle, it'll be very important for you to be consciously and alert and be there. But the meditative state part of you still can do that connection from underneath the water, on top of the mountain, you know, anywhere you are at any time. No, you don't have to sit and cross your arms and hold your head up and do all these things. That's a good place to start, because we're working on the tool that is required to bring you to this venue. And once you get to the venue, man, it's all open and you're ready to go. when you're walking into the marketplace, you can hear that noise that's going on in the background and you know, all the smells and all these things when you're walking into that marketplace. But as soon as you get into it, you are a part of it. The meditative state of the meditative mind will bring you into that, and going in to this marketplace, it's a little bit chaotic and you can hear sounds and see this. And once you're into it, once you've stepped into it, it becomes you. You become a part of it. Meditation is the same. Once you open that door and you step into it and it smacks you in the face and go, here we are, you are now a part of it. And you could be doing that at any time as you're listening to the show. You could be in an amazing state of meditation as you're walking down the park, as you're riding your bicycle or scaling the fish, whatever it is that you do. The mind is always free to do the meditation, which is required to get you through the life. You're spiritually connected to all that there is. You're spiritually connected to the guides. You're spiritually connected to everything. You can meditate anytime. And why I say 3 minutes, because you have to sort of develop the tools. You know, if you're sitting on something hard, your butt's going to hurt after a while. So allow enough time to pass for you to require to get all the skills that is required for you to do it and be good at it. Take the time, learn how to do it. Start out about 3 minutes at a time, and then you can extend that to six. And I know people now that can meditate for a couple of hours because they're loving that state of mind, that place that they're at. And I've done that where you're there and it's amazing. And by the way, by the time you get into meditating for such long periods of time, it moves by like a second. You pop up your head, you'll open your eyes and go, wow, where did the last hour or 2 hours go? Because you're in a place of all things great and you're enjoying it. You could do that as you walk. You could do that as you sing. You can do that as you're swimming. But just do it. And once you learn how to do it, you'll always want to do it because you're finding steps into something that you're quite familiar with. You will remember it. You will want to do it. Let me say, though, because you live in that society, it's important that you remember that you live here with a body. So you have to sort of learn how to coexist with the body and do all that there is that a functional member of society will do while you tap into your spirituality. Don't let go and run really aggressively towards that because you're still here. You're still working. You're still taking care of kids. You still have to groom yourself. You still have to act like a good citizen. But enjoy your meditation. Thank you, and I hope I answered that question the way you wanted it. Have we got anything else there?
We do have a couple of emails. Folks, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Barrington Show, of course, with your host, Barrington. Write us right now if you have a question, a comment. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101. @gmail.com. You did answer Ryan's question. He wrote in and he wanted to know about your book, and you did mention that, Barrington. So thank you, Ryan, for writing in about that. Sasha writes in. She says, I have an issue with people coming here and saying, okay, I'm going to come back a second time, a third time, a fourth time, whatever, until you get it right, as you say. But what about babies that are born and pass away shortly after due to an accident or cancer, whatever? What choices do they have? Do they talk to their spiritual guides at that young of an age? I'm not so sure I can agree with all that. And that's from Sasha. And back to you.
Sasha, that's a very, very good question. And that question pops up more often than you think. The baby that comes here and lives for a couple of whatever short time and then goes away. Well, what I've concluded over the years is that the baby's life has come here to deliver the message. Maybe it's to teach the person, people involved, how to be compassionate, how to understand what it's like to go through that experience. Or they've come to fulfill a purpose that only requires such a short visit. They're not here and taken out because if somebody said, oh, you're not ready yet. There are times when the baby is to come into the world and the acceptant body does not accept it. But this is before the spiritual involvement before the spirits get involved in it. This is before the brain did not open up, the crown of the head did not open up to allow the spirit to enter into the body for the baby to be born. Now, when a child is born, she is most spiritual, more so than all of us at this age. They're so in tune. They're still connected to the spiritual world, and they're still holding on. Their guidance and their tutoring is coming from the spiritual world as a young baby. So we can't say they're so young, we don't know what their purpose is, or it doesn't seem fair that they've only been here for a few years and now they're gone, they're taken away. We don't understand the message that person, that child was delivering. We don't understand the message. However, I've heard of many times where a baby comes in and they leave really fast and they leave an impact on the people that were involved in that child. And that would have been the message. So we're not going to be able, we don't speak baby talk, and they don't understand us because we've moved so far away from spirituality. So we label it. We call it this. Oh, that's unfair. If you get taken out by an accident, it is an accident because it does happen. I don't think there are any coincidences, and a child comes here for a very short term to visit. We don't truly understand their purpose. We don't know their purpose. There's no way for us to know their purpose. But I have seen, like I said earlier, they've come in and had such an impact on the parents or family members or society, and then they leave. Well, what if that was the message? What if that was the package that needed to be delivered and it was done and I'm out? They're going to go somewhere else. Do we come back here? Yes, we do come back. And the question was asking, do we come back as a male or a female? Do we come back in the same body? Do you come back and pick up the same job, the same wife, the same husband, the same career? Well, we don't know that. We don't know that. However, if you had a purpose and a message to deliver, I don't know that it matters that you come as a man or a woman or a black man or not a black man or whatever. It doesn't matter how it comes about. You have a message to deliver, and the impact would probably be for the greater good of society. When a baby comes here, we don't know why and we don't understand the purpose. So we generally just label it because we think he's had a bad gig, a bad turn, a bad something. But that's us just labeling it. Are we looking? Oh, Ryan, you answered the question. Sorry, we got to you and we got the question about the book, and we did talk about that. So that's good. And Sasha, you were just asking about the baby in the past, and you're not feeling comfortable in thinking that it's fair. Well, all of life is life, and none of it is fair. It's just life. And you may label some of yours to somebody else's or compare it and thinking it's not right. I appreciate your email, and it was very good that you tap into these things. And passing away, we're just returning. We're going to rebirth and we're going to come back. Are we coming back to do the very same thing? I'm not 100% sure, but we're coming back. If you didn't fulfill the task, you betcha you're coming back to pick up that baton and start the relay all over again. Are we looking for someone to save us? Is that it? Are we looking for a savior? Someone to tell us it's all going to be okay, everything's going to be fine, and take care of you and protect you and save you. Would you be distraught if you found out that you are your own savior? What would you do differently if I could convince you, tell you that you are your own savior? To sit still and wait for someone to come and rescue you? I'm not fully sure, convinced, or believe that anybody would choose to come here to rescue people when they've made the choice to come here and to fulfill that task, to walk this path, to live in this condition, to run for this company, or to, you know, be a part of that government. I'm not sure about that. I don't think anyone's coming here to rescue you. The savior that you seek, look in the mirror and you'll see him or her. The savior that you're looking for is with you. So we have this miner's light tied to our heads, and we're walking around in this dark room looking for something. We're searching for something with this light on the top of our head, looking for something. You need to know the light is attached to the object that you're looking for. The light you're using to do the search, it's attached to whatever it is that you're looking for. The body, the eyes, the mind that you're using to do your search, they're attached to the object that you're looking for. So look within. The search, the light that you're using to search, or the knowledge, or the whatever, Nobody is coming here to rescue you. And if you don't believe that, how come they didn't come to rescue your mother or your grandmother or your great-grandmother, all the way back to Lucy, to the great-great-great-great-great-grandmothers? Nobody came to rescue them. They lived their lives. They enjoy their time, we hope, and they've moved on. Nobody is coming here to rescue you. You are your own savior. And that might be very hard for a lot of you to hear, and definitely very, very hard for a lot of you to accept. You are your own savior. And if you believe that somebody else is coming to rescue you, please give me his address and his email or Instagram or any of those things, because I want to let him know where I live if I was seeking to be rescued. I understand that the journey we take was created by us, maybe society. The beliefs that we have was definitely given to us. But what about you tapping into your own source and finding your own path and finding your own answers and finding yourself? Then you'll understand the journey that you're on. And it'll clear up a lot of questions for you. Are these people over there suffering? Are they just doing what they want to do? Are they experiencing what they've come here to experience? Are they lesser than us? Are they better than us? Are we not as intelligent or not as, you know, whatever? Nope, you're the same. You're all the same. Everyone's the same. So don't allow yourself to look at another man and offer him pity, because you don't know where he's coming from. You haven't walked in his shoes. There's no one coming to rescue us. Let me put it to you the way I've done it in the past. Be out in the ocean somewhere, and out of the corner of your eye, you see this mighty fin swimming towards you. Who is going to rescue you? Your mind is, because I don't think you can outswim that critter. But for that moment, if you'd said to yourself, well, he's not looking for me, then you've made the choice to rescue yourself. You have made that choice to rescue yourself. When I say I don't lock up my things, I just leave them alone, I have said it's not me that's that thing is going to happen to. And it has worked for me in the last 50 some odd years. It is not me. It's not me. It's someone else or something else or some other entity. And you have sent a signal to that whoever had that fin on that it's not you. And it's as simple as that. I mean, you can try to outswim it. I doubt it. Or outrun it. I don't see that being possible. Or you could simply say, it's not me. This is not me. That's the other guy. There's not me that they're going to take advantage of. It's not me that they're going to hurt. It's not me that they're going to rob. It's not me that... You just have to say that to yourself and be convicted in those words and understand it's not you. If by slim chance it is you, then the higher self, the spiritual guide will say, okay, fix that, take care of this, lock your doors, do whatever you want. Then you will get that message, but you have to be exposed and open to interpret that message. Your speakers or your microphone has to be turned on so you can hear it loud and clear through the speakers. And all we're trying to do is to get you to understand how to connect to that source. Yes, if that shark is coming towards you, or that item that carries that fin is coming towards you, yeah, you do have a choice. But you are making that decision. You are making that decision. If you're walking down the pathway and you're afraid, something will come into the view to eliminate that fear or set you at ease or comfort based on your decision that you make in your mind. And you're not calling it closer to you. You're making something else happen. Somebody will appear at the door. Somebody will show up at the alley. A dog will come in your view to chase away the critter or whatever the case may be. But you have consciously made that decision and acknowledging that it's not you, not your day, not your turn, not your time. That's how you save yourself. Is somebody coming to rescue you? No. No. Nobody's coming to rescue you. You're on your own. And that's hard to hear. And a lot of people don't want to hear that because they've got other belief system that's been infrastructured over their entire life for generation that there is a savior coming. That comes with a bit of naivety, because if you're thinking the savior is coming, is he walking? Is he taking the slow route? Is he waiting for the right opportunity? Because as we're waiting for someone to come and rescue, life is going on. People are dying. People are getting diseased. People are getting hurt. Taken care of, you know, all these things are happening while we're waiting for someone to come and rescue us. So let's assume this has been going on for many, 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 many generations. How many would have died in waiting versus the ones that he will come to rescue? Or he or she or it. So a billion has died, but we're going to save 1,000. Oh, well, that doesn't make sense scientifically or mathematically. You can't sacrifice 1 billion for 1,000 to live. Doesn't work. We wouldn't be a part of this society. I think we'd all die. So no, nobody's coming to rescue you. You are here and you are entitled to your own freedom. Freedom of fear. Restriction. You're entitled to your own freedom. You need to tap into finding how do I set myself free. Don't carry the luggage. A lot of our parents, our homes that we've grown up in, has told us things that we carry every day in life. We didn't try out for that part, or didn't try out for that team, or didn't sign up to that university or apply for that job based on what we may have heard from our upbringing. You can't do it. It's not you. You're not good enough. And we carry this. You don't look well enough to play that part. You're not pretty enough to be in that magazine. We carry that. And you tell that to a teenager, a young person, at that age when they're searching to desperately seek an identity, and you throw this monkey wrench into their program, you've now put them on a path of self-destruction, low self-esteem, insecurities, and of course, fear, which will also manifest itself into hate and anger. And this is reasons why a lot of us can hate other people, just because we're not loving ourselves. Just ask you, why do you hate someone else? Are they doing something that you thought you should be doing? Nobody's coming to rescue you, folks. You're on your own with that one. Find out the source that exists and get the best liberty, the best lifestyle, the best freedom and happiness. That's what we seek. You want to be free. Figure out how to get there. Tap into the source. Tap into the spirituality. Wake up. Live as you're supposed to live. Be limitless as we know that you can be. Open your eyes. Look around you. Who are telling you you're not good enough? Isn't it mean that they haven't accepted the fact that you're good? And if they were that good, they would be inspiring you. And most often when these people offer these advice to you, you didn't ask for it. They just told you. Most often. You are limitless. You need to know that. You need to eliminate fear, your insecurity. You need to know the man that you want to insult is you, your brother, another self of you. So if we're all one, why would we take time out of our own lives to do damage to the other? Why would you cut off the right hand when both of them function really well? We're all one, and that's what matters. And you need to know that. Tap into your own spirituality, folks, and learn who you are. Wake up. Wake up and realize the life you're living was probably dictated to you. And you believe it to be the truth. But when you're most happiest, when you're most content, when you're doing the things that you truly want to do without hurting others or taking your rise on the heads or backs of others, that's when you're living your true self. You may come to a realization that you're trained or taught or fashioned or put together to live this way. But then you're not living that way and you're feeling so happy. But you're being drawn back to the other lifestyle. That's called guilt. Because you're believing that you're supposed to live a certain way. Find out who you are and it will tell you, show you, guide you to how you're supposed to live. Have we got anything else there before we go into our last bit?
Yes, just two things. Robert writes in, and again, he says, another listener says, welcome back. I am enjoying your show this afternoon, and I live in Omaha, Nebraska. So Robert is listening from Omaha. Thank you, Robert. Jamie writes in and says, I'm a fairly new listener to the show, and I just wanted to know, a personal question perhaps, how did you get the name Barrington, and is that your real name? And that's from Jamie.
Okay. Yeah, Baron, how did I get the name? I wrote signs and I posted notes all around the house before I was born as to my, no, I'm kidding. it's a very popular name in where we're from, but it was just a parent's name. I don't know how I got that name. Yes, it is my real name. It's on my birth certificate with two other names, but yeah, it's my real name. I enjoy it and everybody seems to love that name. So I decided to name the show, The Barrington Show, because that's my real name. Yes. How did I get it? I came from my parents. I haven't really asked them how, but it's not uncommon in the part of the world that I was born in. Welcome back. Thank you very much. And thank you for loving the show. Thank you for being there. We're talking today about a whole bunch of things and I know I'm all over the place. One of the shows that we're going to do soon upcoming is to go through all the questions and answer the questions that people ask. Every time somebody email us, I write questions and we're going to have a show called The Best Questions, because I feel that we all will benefit from the questions that are being asked. When somebody's asking the question, are we God? A lot of people are paying attention to hear that answer. And the questions that's being asked, it's being asked by like-minded people like yourself who are listening to the show, and the ones who are listening from anywhere around the world, all of our listeners, you are like-minded. You're moving towards spirituality. You may have heard it. You're not coming here to be haters. And I appreciate the fact that you're coming here because something may spark something in you for you to take that step to look a little bit further into your own existence. We're all the same. So the show will be one soon enough about the best questions that we've had. And we've had some really good questions. And I enjoy answering them and put them out there because a lot of the answers, most of the answers I threw out there, it does answer the question for a lot of people. A lot of us don't know. We just don't know. And that is a part of why we tend to live under this camouflage of life and dictated to us, told us how to do it. We tend to just stay there, humble ourselves, and move on with it. But there's another way. There's another knowledge out there. There's more information out there that will tell you that what you're being told may or may not be the truth, and you hold it to yourself to find out. It may or may not be the truth. Why is that one group of people seems to be dominating and the other super group doesn't seem to be? What's going on? Who's doing the damage? Are we believing or are we not believing? Are we afraid? Because I'll let you know, as you probably know, fear is the greatest inhibitor. It does stop you from doing things or trying things and venturing out into things and creating things. What if you didn't have it? Where would you be? Or what if you could realize that you are the higher self, all that there is, the absolute, the God, whatever, the top of the shelf? What decisions would you make? What difference would it make to your life if you know that? And at the same time, the knowledge is there for you to know that. And when you know that, first of all, you'll be a very humble person because you'll be so excited to guide other people into living this way. Not taking anything from them, not selling them anything. You just open the door, shine the light for them to do what they want to do, which is much like what we're doing. Just open the door, folks. Step in. Wake up. Do your spirituality. Step into spirituality. It costs you nothing, but there's everything to gain. The strength that exists in the universe is within you. And everything that exists in the universe is within you. We are a part. We're all a part of this. Every single part. You don't believe me? Try to get up and leave. Whoops, you can't. Now, some people tell you that they've left, but they've come back. No, but you can't. You're here. You're part of this. You're part of this. You are a very important part of this. Because you're a part of it, live it to the best of your ability. Live for freedom. Do not make that big chase to the top of the hill that nothing exists up there except fatigue, heartaches, and pain, and great disappointment. Enjoy today. Enjoy the life. Enjoy now. Live now. Because now is all that really matters. And you could put away and set and buy this and secure yourself and look towards the future. But what if you didn't make it there? You're basically building a nest for somebody else to come and enjoy. It'd be a fool to build up your residence, your life, your existence, for another person to come in and live like the king, like the president. I'd love to say it the way it needs to be said, but that's my point. If you build this great empire, yeah, you're doing it for yourself. And you may turn around and say, I'm doing it for the kids. But what about their opportunity to do what you're doing? You're making it easier for them? No. How do you know what they need? What if they want to experience the heartache that you consider the heartache? Live now. Live today. Now is what matters. Live now. Learn how to tap into the source that exists that's going to take you. Get on that train, man, person, and take the journey. At any given time, if it's going too fast, step off. If it's going in the direction you weren't expecting, get out. But you owe it to yourself. Thank you very much for joining the Barrington Show. Thank you for being a part of it. Thank you for hanging out there while I was doing my vacation time. I really appreciate you being there. I appreciate you all. Take care. We'll talk soon. You enjoy the rest of the day. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to The Barrington Show with your host, Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101.